Take your Bibles, please turn to Matthew chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 29. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 29, let's read responsively. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. And let's pray. Father, again, we come to you around your book. Thank you for it. Thank you that it's applicable to our lives. It's real. It's a living book. It's a living word, because it's you in print. And God, I pray that you'd teach it to us tonight. Lord, would you use the feeble attempts of this preacher to help your people? Would you allow the Holy Spirit to work through me to the hearts and to the minds of your people tonight? In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Here in Matthew chapter 7, maybe one of my favorite stories in Scripture. We, as children growing up in church, and many of you in maybe that taught your children, there's a song that goes along with Matthew chapter 7. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The rains came down and the floods came up, and the house stood firm. Then, my favorite verse. Say why? Because I was a kid. I like demolition, amen? Foolish man built his house upon the sand. He built his house upon the sand. The floods came up. The rains came down. The floods came up, and the house went splat. Amen? Say, why'd you like that song? Because I like that splat part, amen? Now, wait a minute. This is the end. This is the conclusion of a sermon that Jesus was preaching called the Sermon on the Mount. This was the ending illustration, so to speak, for a sermon that Jesus had been preaching called the Sermon on the Mount. I want you to also notice something, and I love God's word, amen. God didn't just put words in there just to hear himself talk. Verse 29 said, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. I want you to notice something. Jesus wasn't some sissy britches that got up and just spoke a few kind, sensitive little words. The religious people said, whoa, he speaks with authority. I also want you to notice something. It's amazing how we just glibly go past Bible teaching. Verse 28 says, for the people were astonished at his doctrine. He was preaching doctrine. So this is part of doctrine tonight. Doctrine isn't some convoluted mess that somebody's supposed to get up and talk over your head to make themselves sound intelligent. Doctrine is something that's vital to core belief. It's what we base our belief on. It is the foundation of all things. He wasn't pretending in storytelling. He was preaching doctrine. This sermon on, by the way, go through the parables and find out how many times the word doctrine is used with a parable. It wasn't just a pretty story to illustrate a simple truth. He was preaching doctrine. Everybody doing okay? That ought to take the Bible expositors and give them something that rhymes with expository, amen? You adults will catch that. There was a purpose for his teaching. I was trying to be discreet, folks, amen? But I couldn't help it. He is at the end of his sermon. You ought to see the people giggling right now. It's great, amen? He is at the end of his sermon, and I want you to notice what he says. He says, verse 24, whosoever hears and does will be like a wise man building his house upon a rock. Then he says in verse 26, then there are going to be people that hear and disobey. They're going to be like the foolish man that builds his house on the sand. Now, if you'll listen to me, I think I can help you. Notice both the wise man and the foolish man face the storm. This Pentecostal, this community church doctrine of, oh, just trust Jesus and everything goes fine, is garbage. God said the rains are going to come down, the wind is going to blow, the floods are going to come up, and the wind's going to beat against the wise man just as it is against the foolish man. You are not going to go through life without storms. Bible says he rains on the just and the unjust. That means problems are going to come to you just like it will to the lost people. Everybody doing all right?
Yes.
Now, the question is this. Are you going to hear and do? Or are you going to hear and not do? The wise man hears and will obey. The foolish man hears and disobeys. That decides whether your house stands firm or it goes splat. Now, this means when the storms come, you choose whether you stand or whether you fall. God often compares man's body to a house or to a tabernacle. It is the structure that holds your soul and your spirit. I believe Jesus was telling these people that if they obeyed the truth and the doctrine that he had just taught them, that they would successfully endure the storms of life. But if they did not, they would not successfully endure. Now, tonight I want to focus on one part of this illustration. Jesus did not say if a storm came. I want you to look at it again. Verse number 25, it says, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. Notice Jesus did not say, if the rains come, if the wind blows, and if the floods come. He said, and the rain came, and the floods came, and the wind blew. In other words, it wasn't a matter of if, it was a matter of when. It does not say they might. He said, it's coming. It's coming. Now, the reality of storms coming in your life is there. I've seen through my years probably thousands of storms. I'm talking physical storms. Man, about 2 o'clock this afternoon, I just got done eating. I was sitting on the couch with my wife at my mom and dad's house. It was getting dark out. And did you hear that roll of thunder? It sounded like it started about 10 miles away and went 20 miles past us. And you could hear it the whole way. You know, it was great. My wife and daughter and I, we were watching the news here one day this week, and up in Canada somewhere, this truck was driving down the road and lightning struck the truck. I mean, direct hit. Pow! I mean, it went up in a ball of fire and it blew the engine. It blew the hood off of the truck. They got out of it. They couldn't hardly hear for a couple hours, but other than that, they were fine. But it took a direct hit and it was on video. It was great. I thought, man, I'm glad I wasn't driving that truck. Glad that wasn't my truck. Now, wait a minute. It was pretty scary, actually. I'm thinking, well, they can prove your car is one of the safest places to be in a lightning storm, amen. You might not want it after you've been through it, but it's there. Now, wait a minute. I've seen lots of storms. I have seen it storm in Washington State. Boy, you've never seen rain until you've been up in the upper Northwest, amen. I've seen it storm in Maine. We were up there this last summer and got a wing dinger of a storm while we were up there. It was great. I've seen it storm in California. Not often in Southern California, but I've seen it storm. I saw more, well, felt more earthquakes than we saw storms, but I've seen it storm there. I've been in Florida, and boy, you talk about a lightning storm and a half. You ought to go to Florida and watch the lightning crack. It's great. My mom and dad were up visiting us in Indiana one time. We had just moved back to Indiana, and I saw the wildest electric storm, lightning storm, I have ever seen in my life. It must have lasted 2 hours, and you could go outside and read a book. It was just so bright. I mean, you literally, it didn't stop flashing for over 2 hours. It was just an amazing work of God that he was doing there, judging the city of Gary. Anyway, but anyway, I've seen a lot of storms. I've seen tornadoes. I've been through hurricanes. I'll be honest with you. I've seen hailstorms. I've seen just about every kind of I've seen firestorms. I've been through all those things. Now, I say that to say this. I don't like the destruction that sometimes comes with storms, but there's nothing better than a good old storm. I just like it. They have a way of cleaning and refreshing the earth. It's wonderful to go outside after a storm and smell the air. It's clean. It's pure. It washes all that green pollen away. Amen. And you can actually go, amen. And you can smell the ionized air from the electricity and everything. And I just enjoy it. Now, storms come to all of us in life. Let me say this. You cannot control storms. I'm for early warning systems and the hurricane system, and I'm for the tornado sirens and bells and all the other things that go with that. And I'm for that because I think it helps save people's lives. But you know what? We have not yet figured out how to stop a tornado from coming. You know, you can't stop a storm. You can't stop a hurricane. That means the same is true in life. You're not going to stop all storms that come your way. I have a hip issue. I have a hip that's much older than I. I had a hip disease as a child, and it's kind of ruined my hip. The doctor, the last time my doctor looked at it was years ago. About 4 or 5 years ago, she said, "You have the hip of a 70-year-old. I was in my early 40s. She said, in the next probably 10 years, you're probably facing some decisions about what to do with your hip. I said, I'm going to leave it there. What are you thinking about doing with it? Amen. But it lets me know when there's rain coming. Brother Taylor, we were right this morning. Amen. He got out of his car. I said, it's going to rain today. He said, how do you know? I said, because I'm walking like you are. I'm feeling that. I could feel that low pressure. Now, let me give you just a few statements about storms, and then I'm going to apply it very practically, and we'll be done. Number one, in storms, there's low pressure. Low pressure. Now, if you'll listen. Do I hear a pizza? Was that you, Janelle? No. Is it you, Brother Smith? Wow. Extra large stuffed pizza from New. Yeehaw. Anyway, somebody else call him real quick. Don't do it. Don't do it. Oh, something you might not understand scientifically about pressure. Y'all are laughing at him. It's great. Air pressure is opposite of what you think it is. As the pressure goes up, if you watch the air pressure go up, that means the air is moving this way and lifting the pressure up. Low pressure means the pressure's coming down more on top of you. Okay? That's why those of you that have bad bones, when the pressure starts dropping, you start feeling it because there's more pressure coming down. The gravity's being allowed to push down more. By the way, that's why when a storm comes, it's always a low pressure system. that air pressure drops because the air is heavier and the cold air is pushing down more than the hot air going up, and it's getting ready to rain, and that rain's going to come down and it drops pressure on you. Can I tell you something? When you face the storms of life, you're going to have pressure coming down on top of you. That pressure might be your boss, boys and girls. It might be your parents. It might be God. It might be me up here screaming and hollering against your sin, not knowing it was yours, but I'm screaming on it. It might be your finances. You're going to face pressure in your life, and it's going to come down from above you. Leadership is going to put pressure on you. Can I tell you why? That's part of the storms of life. Don't run from that pressure. Face the pressure. Pressure from above pushes success down on top of you. Do you know that if there was no low pressure, it would never rain? And if it would never rain, may I say this? It's going to be a dry time in your life. You're going to have a desert. Every once in a while, you need that low pressure to bring success to you. Life-giving water comes from above. The Bible talks about in the book of Ecclesiastes, all the rivers of the waters and the rivers run to the sea. God purifies your water by bringing salt water, letting it evaporate over our oceans, bringing it across dry land, and letting it come back to the earth. It's already been filtered. The salt takes the impurities out of it, drops it to the bottom of the sea. The fresh water evaporates, turns into clouds, comes over the dry land, and squeezes out on top of the dry land. God takes care of watering everything for us. By the way, that's why he said your sins in the depths of the sea. It attached to the salt and dropped to the bottom. Amen. It purifies your life. Now, wait a minute. That's recorded, by the way, in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, just so you know. We didn't need science books to tell us that. God wrote it in his book because he's the one who created it. Now, wait a minute. That rain actually at one time was dirty salt water. You say, ha, that's the best water in the world. I'm going to catch that and drink it. Yeah, but at one time it was salt water. It took that pressure from on top to bring it down, to make it good and life-giving for you. Then you have flood pressure, pressure from underneath. My wife and I spent about 4.5 years in Charleston, South Carolina. I think, Brother or Mrs. Hawkins, you might correct me on this, but I think I'm right. I think the highest point in Charleston is 12 feet above sea level. Is that right? Or real close to that? It's either 10 or 12 feet above sea level, the whole city. No lie, cross my heart, hope Brother Hawkins dies. But twice a day, Charleston, downtown Charleston, floods. When the high tide comes in, it backs up the sewer system and it pulls the water up, and it's just twice a day, downtown Charleston floods. They tell you when high tide is, so you stay away from downtown. It's great. I don't know why they ever built a city there doing that, but they did. That's why when Hurricane Andrew ripped through there, it had a tidal surge of about 20 feet. You understand? A 20-foot tidal surge, when the highest point in town is 10 or 12 feet above sea level, they had tidal surge 10 and 12 miles inland from Hurricane Andrew. That's why it was so devastating down there. Because there was no place for the water to go. It just kept coming in and coming in and coming in and coming in and coming in. That's pressure from below. That water was coming up because the pressure was building it up. This means pressure from followers. Those of you that lead at work, you're going to find pressure leading people. Mamas and daddies, you're going to find pressure leading your children. They're going to put pressure on you because they're down below you pressuring you. By the way, all of us that are parents face that pressure. Just because you have little ones doesn't mean you're the only one in the world that has pressure with the kids. Wait till them puppies get big. They eat more, they cost more, and their problems are a whole lot bigger. You're upset when they're 4, 5, 6, 7 years old and they're costing you money going to the doctor. You just wait till they're adults and they have car crashes and everything else. We'll find out how much that costs you, amen? Wait till they get married. Lord, have mercy. The problems get bigger the bigger they get. Boy, that's a good statement. Co-workers are going to put pressure on you. You're going to find pressure where you work because of your co-workers. Can I tell you why? The floods are coming. Pressure from down below. Boys and girls, brothers and sisters are going to put pressure on you. They're supposed to. That doesn't mean you poke them in the nose. It means you act like a Christian at home as well as you do at church. Those of you that are in Sunday school class, church, your friends are going to put pressure on you. You know, it's not a bad thing that people down below you put pressure on you. Every once in a while, it's good for you to feel the pressure of leadership. Boy, that's a good statement. Let me ask you a question. Are you going to drown in it? Or are you going to face it? Leaders remove the pressure and face the flood. I don't know how else to say this. Don't take this the wrong way, but it's time for some of you to clean out the drain so the Holy Spirit can flow and not let it drown you. Some of you got your sewer backed up in your life, and you're going down for the last time. If you'd clean it out and let the Holy Spirit flow through you, guess what? You'll be able to take that pressure from down below. Next, the winds blew from all directions and beat on that house. Now listen to this statement. I love this. Wind from behind is the pressure from the past. When that wind's pushing from behind, that's pressure from the past. You've already been there. Can I tell you something? I don't let the past bother me, good or bad. I let the past inspire me. I let the past prevent me from doing something stupid again, sometimes. I have never lit another fire with gasoline since the day I almost blew myself up. Pressure from the past, amen? I learned my lesson. Now, if I go out and start a fire tomorrow with gasoline and blow myself up, I didn't learn from pressure from the past, amen? But may I say this, I've made a lot of mistakes in my life. I don't stop living because I made a mistake. I just found another way not to do something. Some of you are living with your past and it's haunting you. Can I tell you why? Because you're living in it. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Why are you letting your sinful past bother you? Well, I just can't forgive myself. Then why don't you grow up and be a Christian? God forgave it. He forgot it. He's chosen never to remember it. And you're living and wallowing in it like a pig in a slop. Get out of the mud. Dust yourself on and quit letting the pressure from the past bother you. Boy, that's fun to say. Next, the wind in your face is pressure of the future. Pressure of the future. Oh, I'm just not sure what the future holds. Nobody's sure what the future holds. Some of you live in constant state of panic. You're not happy unless you're panicking. Folks, I don't worry. I know what my commission is. I know what my job is. That's all I'm worried about. If you went back 25 years and talked to my wife and I when we first got married, the last 25 years of our life did not go as we planned, just so you know. We got married. I told her, we're going to be assistant pastor somewhere. But I am not going to California. I don't care what God says. I'm not going there. He sent me to Long Beach, California for the first 2 years of my ministry. Doggone. I had a teacher in college. California's like a box of cereal. It's full of fruits, flakes, and nuts. He was right. Man, was he right. Folks, I was out in Long Beach, California during the Rodney King riots. I was in Compton the day of the riots. That's where they beat Reginald Denny. Pulled him out of the truck and beat him within half an inch of his life. I was there. I was in the town. I had police officers pulling me over saying, white boy, what are you doing here? I said, I'm checking on some of my shut-ins. He said, you're going to die. Get out of here. No lie, took me 11 minutes to go from Compton to the church. When I got back, they had a TV on in the church office, and the intersection that the police officer pulled me out of, they already had news crews there because somebody was just killed at that intersection. Okay, it only took me 11 minutes to get back from there, and they're already there. Somebody died within moments after I left that intersection. I didn't tell my mother that till just now. Oops. Now, wait a minute. Nobody knows what the future holds. Nobody. Why are you so worried about it? Quit worrying about the where and start doing the what. I know I'm supposed to read my Bible. I know I'm supposed to pray. I know I'm supposed to win souls. I know I'm supposed to live like a Christian and be faithful. I don't care where the where is. I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do. Guess what? When you're doing the what, he makes the where very clear. Very clear. You don't have to wonder about it. The wind from beside you, this is peer pressure. And let me say this. We think peer pressure is only for teenagers. Peer pressure is for adults too. How do you act at work? Some of you falter to peer pressure by where you work. You'd never talk or dress the way you do at church that way. Why do you do it at work? Because peer pressure. By the way, young people, moms and dads face peer pressure too. Just so you know. And so do you. That's why you need to make sure the peers in your life are the right kinds of peers. I'm not saying that everybody's going to go out and work for Christians. I mean, some of you are going to work for Mark someday, and you're not going to work with Christians, amen? Did I say that the way I was supposed to, Brother Brining? Did I get that just right? Okay, thought so. Anyway. Can I tell you something? Y'all aren't going to work with Christians every moment of your life. But they ought to know you're a Christian, and they ought to act different around you. Man, that's good stuff. Now, let me give you 3 points of poem and we'll go home, amen? Number one, build your life on the rock of the Word of God and not the sands of your emotions. Folks, when you build your life on that book right there, it doesn't matter what your emotions are. Do you know I feel pain too? Do you know I cry too? Do you know I feel hurt too? Do you know I feel disillusioned too? Do you know I face fears too? But I don't build my life on that. I build my life on that. Say, are you emotional about going and seeing your grandmother tomorrow that's 96 years old? No. I know where she's going, folks. If she doesn't make the night, though I'm planning on her, can I tell you something? I will hurt, but I'm not disillusioned by that. See, well, you don't understand. I've had somebody hurt me. No. And you don't think somebody's not hurt me? Well, I had somebody say something bad about me. Let's not go there. Folks, if I lived my life by what everybody thought about me, I'd commit suicide a long time ago. I don't worry. Some of it is you're listening to too much of what people say. See, well, I heard, there's a lot of things I found out in life that I hear that aren't true. Don't worry about it. Some of you are so worried about what everybody thinks and what everybody says. I'm not worried about it at all. Say why? Because I'm not going to live by emotional shifts. Emotions shift like sand. They're like building a house on sand. It's not going to last. Ladies, y'all know what I'm talking about. Now, ladies are a little bit more emotionally driven, usually, than men. Now, let me make this statement. Emotions will lie to you. They'll lie to you. Some of you ladies can watch a chick flick and cry. Does that bother you? No, I'm happy. Now, wait a minute. tears and happiness, that's lying, folks. That just doesn't make sense, amen? I don't cry because I'm so happy. Emotions are lying to you at that point in time, just so you know. Now, wait a minute. Emotions change. Do you know at one time in your life, you were upset at something, and now you've been through it so many times, it doesn't make you upset anymore? Can I tell you why? Emotions lied to you before. Now, listen to me very carefully. The Bible needs to be your foundation of making decisions, not your emotions. Yes. Folks, 25 years of marriage, 25 years of the ministry, I have preached in over, I think, 32, 33, 34 different states. We've worked in 1, 2, 3, 4. This is my 5th church that I've worked in. Don't you think I've had some emotions in all these years? Don't you think there's people that I miss in all these years? But may I say this? I didn't make my decisions based on how I felt. I made it on the Word of God. Amen. And I don't go back on that. Well, don't you miss? I'm so busy doing what I'm doing now, I don't have time to miss it a whole lot. Some of you are living in the past so much that you're missing something and it's bothering your emotions and you're robbing your present. Yeah. Lock yourself in, load it up, pull the trigger, and have some fun. Boy, that's a good statement. Number 2, let the storm pressure show you your weak areas so you can fix them before the next storm. Did you ever go out after a storm, look at the trees on your property, and find out which ones aren't going to make it through another one? Y'all know what I'm talking about, especially the ones that are close to the house. Say, what are you doing? You're getting things ready for the next storm. Storm damage may come, but it doesn't have to devastate you. These people in D.C. that let these, 85-foot tall oak trees that are 200 years old fall on their houses. Can I tell you why? They don't look after storm damage. You don't let an 80-foot tree stand in front of your house in D.C. between two sidewalks and think that everything's going to be all right in my father's house. I'm sorry. The history of D.C. proves that, amen? Oh, we just don't know what to do. Cut the stupid thing down. Oh, we would hurt a tree. Okay, kill everybody in your house because you let it stand there, ding dong. Cut the tree down and plant another one and be all kind of, plant 3 of them and be extra happy. But that tree might die. So might you. I'd rather a stupid tree die than it fall on my wife or my children in the house or me. Wait a minute. Limited damage now is better than devastation later. Did you catch that? Limited damage now is better than devastation later. Some of you need to take assessment after a storm in your life, and it's going to expose some weak areas. Good. Well, I just feel so exposed. Oh, good. Now you know what you need to work on. Now you know what you're supposed to work on. Fix it up, shore it up before the next storm comes. Not if another storm comes, when another storm comes. Each storm is to show us how to endure the next one better. Do you know that the trees in the forest need storms? If they're not careful, the wind blows, and boy, does it blow around here. But it'll loosen that dirt up around those trees. It'll pull those trees enough to loosen up the dirt so those roots can go a little deeper. So that they can endure a stronger storm. Sometimes there's weak or dead branches, and they need to come out of those trees so that the tree can be strong enough to endure stronger winds that come their way. Folks, Storm pressure is not bad. It reveals what you need to work on. That's why a lot of people leave church. Man of God will get up and clean your clock like I did this morning. Preach on hell. Ooh, I can't believe he's so rough. What did I do? I just exposed a weakness. I was talking to a couple people. I guess what's the name of that church? Oh, they moved into the mall. Oh, yeah, the toilet, the outhouse, the living room. Sorry. I guess they moved into that place in the mall that we were trying to rent. A couple of our folks were, I can't believe they did. I said, it's okay. It's not church. That's why they're allowed to be in there. Amen. Hey, I'm happier with what God did. Amen. I don't have to put up with no stupid mall cop telling me I can't do something. Folks, you say, oh, we were so devastated. I wasn't devastated. I just knew that's what the Lord didn't want. Look what he had for us. God's been good. I'm not mad. I'm glad they got it. Everybody can see how... Never mind. Next, and I'll finish with this point. Follow the advice of those who have successfully weathered the storms. My wife and I, and I'm pretty sure we had... I know we had Josh. I'm not sure if we had Jeff at the time, but we were in South Carolina, and we had to face our first hurricane. Now, I don't mind facing hurricanes, but I lived in a mobile home. That's not the place I wanted to face a hurricane. Mama didn't raise two fools, just my brother. So I contacted a family in our church that had a brick home. You say, why? If I was going to choose somebody's house, I was going to take one that was going to stand the storm. Amen. We went over not far from where we lived and just a little drive away, and we hunkered down. We brought extra food. We hunkered down with an older couple in the church. You say, why? Just outside our mobile home, across, and I'm not kidding, there was a tree down there. It was probably twice as wide as this pulpit across the base. And I thought for sure, if there was a hurricane coming, if that thing came down, that little tin can didn't hold a chance against that tree. I didn't want to be in there. Now, I wasn't afraid. I was just being wise, amen? We went there. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't know what I was facing. I really didn't. I had never been through a hurricane to that point in time. So we were there. We were watching videos. We were eating. Say why? If I was going to die, I was going to die full. Amen. Man, the wind started blowing. The rain started coming. And y'all know what it's like. I've been through enough wind around here. You know, it starts howling. I'm thinking, ooh, that's a pretty good one. The only thing is, during a hurricane, it doesn't stop going. It just keeps on going for a long time. Whew, man. We finally got through that thing. I went back to my house. Everything was fine. I could have stayed in the trailer. I chose not to because I felt it was wise for my family's sake. Now, wait a minute. I was glad I weathered my first hurricane with somebody who had been through a few. Amen. I kept watching them. The longer they weren't nervous, the less nervous I was. If they started getting nervous, it was time to get nervous. Amen. They said, oh, it'll be okay. Pretty soon, it went from going from this side of the house to from this side of the house. I said, wait a minute, it's coming from a different direction. He said, we're on the back side of the storm now. Oh, okay, that makes sense. Can I tell you something? You need to go find people that have been through the storm that you're facing. And learn how they got through it. Amen. By the way, don't find people that just made it through. Find somebody that made it through successfully. Amen. Can I tell you something? You're not going to face many storms in life that I haven't seen. Come see me. I can help you. Oh, I already know what you're going to say, preacher. You might be surprised what I might say. Amen. You think you know what I'm going to say. But you don't know what I'm going to say. I'm just going to say this. Why do you seek advice from people that haven't been through any more storms than you've been through? I don't mean to be unkind. Young couples, listen to me. Somebody that's got kids that are 3, 4, 5, 6 years older than your kids, I wouldn't be getting all my child rearing advice from them. I'd find somebody that's got grown kids. I hate to tell you, those that only have kids just a little older than yours don't know a whole lot more than you know, and they haven't seen the end result of what they're teaching their kids yet. And I'll go to my grave making that statement, but I'm not afraid of that statement. There's a lot more wisdom in that statement than some of you will give me credit for, but someday you'll look back and say, he was right.
Yes, sir.
Not because I'm right, but because I've been through this. Make sure you listen and be ahead. Don't listen because you're trying to catch up. You know, I listen to people so that I can get ahead. I'm going to make a statement here. And if you'll listen to me, I think I can help you. I got the best years of the ministry of Dr. Jack Hiles. I got the last 5 years of Jack Hiles' ministry working with him. Say, what do you mean the best years? He had already made all his mistakes and fixed them. He was able to teach me everything that didn't work and show me what did work. You know, I ought to be farther ahead than he was 20 months into pastoring, because I got 50 years experience taught to me. Did you catch that? I'm not, and boy, please don't get mad at me for saying this. I'm not copying the young Jack Hiles. I'm copying the old Jack Hiles, because he already made all his mistakes and figured out how to make it work. He copied the young spirit of Jack Hiles. He followed the old man's advice. I'm going to follow what works. Boy, that's a good statement. And let me say this, and I'll be done. You need to not just weather the storm, but you need to teach others how to get through the storms. You need to teach others how to get through storms. There's a poem that I love. Brother Hiles used to quote it. I'm not quoting it. I'll read it. It says it pretty well. An old man going a lone highway came at evening, cold and gray, to a chasm vast and deep and wide, through which was a flowing sullen tide. The old man crossed in twilight dim. The sullen stream had no fear of him. But he turned when safe on other side and built a bridge that spanned the tide. Old man, said the fellow pilgrim near, you're wasting your strength building here. Your journey will end with the ending of day. You never again will pass this way. You've crossed the chasm deep and wide. Why build this bridge at eventide? The builder lifted his old gray head. Good friend, in path I have come, he said, there followeth after me today a youth whose feet must pass this way. This chasm has been naught to me. To that fair-haired youth may pitfall be. He too must cross in twilight dim. Good friend, I am building this bridge for him. Those of us who are a little bit more seasoned, a little more grizzled, let's not get frustrated at those fair-haired ones that have not faced the storm. Let's build a bridge so they can get across it. Teaching your children to drive, it's easy to get frustrated. How many years' experience you got on them? Teaching your children to grow up, yeah, you can get frustrated, but realize you went through the same process. Build a bridge. Don't destroy them with the pressure. You can't stop the storms of your life, but you can get ready for the storm pressure that's coming. Let me ask you a question. What are you going to do with the storm pressure? Are you going to hear and obey and become wise? Or are you going to hear, do what you want, and watch your house fall? The decision is yours. Let's bow our heads. I don't know, maybe, what storm you face, but there are storms coming. Maybe it's poor health. Maybe it's those twilight years that you're afraid of. Maybe you're feeling the pressure from your children from below. Pressure of teenagers. Pressure of adult children. Maybe it's the pressure from work, pressure of finances. I don't know the pressure, but you do. You face some storms. There's more storms coming. What are you going to do with the pressure?